Every once in a while, I think in your life, you kind of take an evaluation of what's going on in your life. Or if you don't, maybe you should. Maybe I should. Maybe we should. Just really give it a good, hard look and see what am I doing here? What's going on? And so I don't do that probably as often as I should. You know, if you did that in my garage right now, and you say, you look at my garage and you say, what is going on? You would have no idea because it's a place that's a mess. And when I go into the garage, there's this little path that you can get through, and there's sawdust about ankle deep in some areas because I've run the planer and I've sawed, and you can't get I have room enough for a $50 saw inside, but our $10,000 car has to sit outside because we can't fit it in the garage. But if you look at the garage, you wouldn't know what I was doing. And in life, I just don't want this little path through and just say, just keeping me on this narrow path, and I'm just walking through life because that's what I've always done. I read a book one time, Rot, Rot, or Revival. And so you get in a rot, you start to rot unless you can be revived or brought out of the rot. It's not always bad to be going the same way. When we first moved into Roaring Spring, I would go a different way to Walnut Street every time, and Cheryl said, what are you doing? And I said, I just don't want to get in the rut. And so I would go in by the spring dam, or I would go in by this way, or I'd go in that street, or I'd go in up by the McDonald's, or I would just go different ways all the time. And one day she spoke to me, she said, you know, there is a best way to do some things. And that's true too. So I don't want to just get out of a rut and thinking it's a rut. Sometimes it's the best way to do things. So Robinson Extension, or the Robinson Avenue, is kind of the way we go most of the time now, because that seems to be the best way. Plus, you get to pray for your kids as we go down Robinson Avenue because you can see their house. So there is a best way to do something, but I always want to take an evaluation and make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. And preaching is one of those things. I never learned how to preach. I didn't take any preaching courses in college. And so I learned how to preach, but and I think anyway, I can at least take up 35, 40 minutes of your time. Sometimes 45, 50 minutes of your time. And if you look back at some of the videos, if I keep talking, 52 minutes, 53 minutes of your time. So I learned how to fill up time, but I think also that I've learned how to maybe communicate and to preach. But the question is why? Why am I preaching? I can learn to do something, but why am I doing that? And so that just recently that's been on my heart. Why am I doing this? Why am I preaching? And I started to unpack and just started to think and started to search the scripture of why. Why do I preach, or why do you preach, or why is there preaching in the world? Because you heard the phrase, and so have I, it says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You know, we know that. You can push the button. We know that quote, right? And I said, well, maybe I don't need to say anything. I'm just going to come up here one Sunday. I'm just going to stand. Maybe that would be good. Maybe God would say, finally, you shut up and I can speak. But as I study why there is preaching, I find myself in opposition a little bit to this statement that we often make. And I don't think it's bad, but it seems to be if preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, because when I look to the scripture, it's always necessary. It always comes to the time where it's necessary to preach. It just seems like that. Because preaching simply means to proclaim openly or to herald the gospel. To proclaim openly or to herald the gospel. Or to make known the gospel, or make known God's word, and make known God's plan, make known something that God wants us to make known, which includes the gospel. The full message of this new gospel. So God, why do you want me to preach? And as I unpack this in my own personal life, I come to, because God is a verbal God. There was 2,000 plus times that God has communicated something in the Bible where he said the word of the Lord came to. And I shared this in a couple groups this week. I'm up to 250 times where the Lord said something to Moses. God is a verbal communicator. God shared the gospel in his creation, and shared the gospel in the things he's put together, but he shared the gospel in his voice. He preached to Moses. 2,000 times in the scripture we see where God is speaking to someone. So why do I preach? Because I think God is a verbal God. Why do I not just stand up here and say nothing? Because I think God is a verbal God. And I want to angle my life toward what God would want. And if God has created me in his image, I think I'm a verbal communicator as well. Am I a nonverbal communicator? Certainly. Nonverbals can scream loud, right? If you're talking to me and I put my hand on the doorknob and I start to turn toward the door, no matter what my mouth is saying, you're saying he doesn't want to be here. But God is a verbal communicator, so I want to be a. And in Matthew 5, it says this, and because Jesus preached. Jesus went up to the mountainside and he sat down and his disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying. And he preached this message, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But he did that through saying. He spoke something to them. He proclaimed the ways of God and the kingdom of God. So why do I preach, or why do we preach? It's because God is a verbal God, and because Jesus preached. And we look, and the Jews demand miraculous signs, and the Greek look for wisdom, but we preach or proclaim Christ crucified, the message of the cross. So the apostles preached. And in Romans 10 and 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So there is this proclamation of the gospel. Faith comes from hearing. And if we read that passage more, there's someone speaking. And so share the gospel at every turn, and it'll always be necessary to use words. Because faith comes by hearing, not just watching. You can love your family, and you can love your wife, and you can live a godly life, and your neighbors can watch that for years and years and years. But one day when they ask you, you're going to need to proclaim the gospel to them. They're not going to come to Christ just by watching you be a cool guy. They're going to say, what is going on in his life? And I want some of that. And they come closer to God. But then there's a time when you're going to tell them and proclaim. Because what? Because faith comes by hearing. So why do I preach? Because faith comes by hearing. And in order to hear, you have to have something proclaiming it to you or to me. I came to faith because someone told me about Jesus. In 1 Corinthians it says this, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I think I preach because the message of the cross is compelling. In Acts 5 and 20 it says this, go stand in the temple court, and he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. That was, freedom came from the angel, the Lord sent an angel and freed Peter from prison and gave him this command. Go stand in the most public place you can find in the temple courts and proclaim the full message of this new life. Hence why that verse is on your shirt if it says new life on it. Because that's our goal, is to preach the full message of this new life. So why do I preach? Because it's part of the full message, because God is verbal, and so forth and so on. And so I come to the conclusion, it's okay if I do this. I'm not just in a rut. I'm not just in a rut. I want to be like Christ and the apostles, and I want to bring the message, and I want to be compelled by the gospel, and I want to bring the news. I want to herald the news. Maybe it'd be better if I shut up. I can't. I'm like a 2-year-old on Mountain Dew. And just so you know, I wasn't always a 2-year-old on Mountain Dew. If I said six words a year, I was good. Leave me alone. I don't want to see anybody else drive by my house except the 6 people that have to go out on this dirt road to work and come back. But God has done something. He has compelled me to preach. And so I come to the conclusion, whether you like it or not, it's okay that if I do this, I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach until God changes me, or changes the situation, or takes away my voice, or takes away my life. One of my goals in life is to go out preaching. Just so you know, I want to go out preaching while my family is on vacation that week. What is the purpose of a sermon, though? That's why I do it. And then I wrestle with it. What is the purpose? And to know God and to foster action that is in line with God and His will. I will show you Jesus, and I will show you what He is like. Who comes to me, Jesus speaking, and what? Hears my words and puts them into practice. And then we can sing the song. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. And when the rains came down and the floods came up, and the rains came down and the floods came up, and the rains came down and the floods came up, the house on the rock stood firm. That's why I preach. Because when we hear the word of God and we put it into practice, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter if we're a marmalade hoverfly with a wounded wing, we can hear the word of God and we can put them into practice. And we build our house up on the rock. That's why I preach. Because Jesus said to preach. Because Jesus preached, and all those other reasons. And because it fosters the action that is in line with God and His will. And we know God. In John 14 it says this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So I'm almost ready to start preaching today. Just hang on. I'm probably in the 47-minute range. Okay, just hang with me. 47 minutes. It's like half of a baseball. Two quarters of a football game. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, two jobs of the Holy Spirit in this verse, to teach and to remind. To teach you new things and to remind you of what you already know. So I've entitled today's message, which I have been verified that I can preach, and I'm not just in a rut. There is a best way to do something. Robinson Avenue, I'm on it, baby. I'm okay. And because I want to make known the Word of God so that you can put them into practice so your house can be built on the rock. Because I'm guaranteeing you, rain is going to come. And I'm guaranteeing you that rain is not going to stop until the floods are coming up. And I'm also guaranteeing you, no matter what's going on in your life, that the Word of God will give you a firm foundation. So I'm good. I'm feeling all right about preaching this message. And I'm already to start preaching this, almost ready to start preaching this message. And the Holy Spirit says this. Now there's two other things. Sometimes there's new information to give. And sometimes I just need to remind you of what you already know. So I've entitled today's message, "Please Remember." Just please remember. And I think God is saying that to me, and I think God is saying that to you. I think He just wants us to remember. Will you just remember? Just stop and remember. I know you want to go forward. I know you want the next step, but you need to remember. You need to spend time in remembering me and remembering my words for you. The psalmist says it this way, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You know what that is? That's a memory of how sweet the words of God were. I remember eating the words of God. I remember how sweet they were. And almost you start to get this inkling of the psalmist is hungry for even the same dish. I never get tired of eating some of the same dishes over and over and over. So remember today, the Lord is saying, just please remember. For I received, in Corinthians, Paul says in Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. You need to just sit and remember. Can we just remember this morning? And just remember, just let me throw some things out there this morning. 100% every verse. And I've got a verse for everyone hooked to a sweet cookie this morning. And a verse, and you're going to get one on the way out. And you've got to eat this cookie and read this verse. Now, that's not the hardest assignment you've ever had. Because the Word of God is sweet. And there's 168 passages hooked to these cookies in that. And we have had every one of them so far in 2022. I robbed every one of them from previous messages, from previous handouts, from homework. This is at least the second time that you've had this verse. Because it's time to remember. Just remember. How about this in Galatians? And if you're not grabbing onto this one, you haven't been here in the last 5 or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. I don't know what else is going on in your world right now, but freedom is the reason you have been given a relationship with Christ. Amen. Just remember that. No matter how hard life is right now, no matter what is going on, you've been set free. You're no longer in bondage of sin as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're no longer in bondage. You're no longer in bondage, Paula. Paula gave her life to Christ last Sunday. Yeah. Amen. Just let that soak in. I don't know about you, but I get so busy and so jacked up with life, and The conversation in our house is, say, when did the weeks go from 7 day weeks to 3 day weeks? Because I'll go home this afternoon, then it'll be Monday, and all of a sudden it's Thursday, then all of a sudden it's Sunday again. It's a Monday, Thursday, Sunday. That's just what it is in our house. It just seems like that. And God said, just remember, I've set you free. How about this one? Just push the button. Just a few of these. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You're a new creation. I don't feel like it. Frankly, right now, that doesn't bother me. The reality is you are a new creation. Let's just start from that and prove it wrong the other way rather than starting with, I am not a new creation, and working to give evidence that I believe I'm not a new creation. You are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. How about this one? I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest.
Amen.
I want you to have full life. Life abundantly, some translations say. I want to give you abundant life. More life than you can handle. I want to fill you so full of life that you think you're going to bust at the seams. Or you're going to have to put your Thanksgiving pants on. Because God has got you so full of life. And he said, I want to fill you up with life. And we get so agitated with the world. We get so inundated with news. We get so inundated with bad news. We get so inundated with everything that's going on in the world. And all of a sudden, the life starts to be sucked out of us. And God said, wait a minute, that's not me. Just so you know, that's not me. I have come to fill you up with life. Maybe you need to remember this morning, Psalm 23, when it just said, I have prepared a table before you in the very presence of your enemy. And I would add, and he can't do a dang thing about it. And you can belly up to that table because there's an anointing on you. I've anointed you. Just need to remember that this morning. How about just let me throw a few of the other ones out here this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave us. I know. I've heard that before. I know you heard that before. This is a remembering message. You ever watch the same movie over and over and over? For God so loved the world. Can you remember, just maybe remember back the very first time you heard that? That God loved you. That he gave his one and only son for you. That even though that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have this amazing relationship with God. Remember that day? How about this one? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! What do you need to remember today? How about this one? Brothers, I do not consider myself having yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. Would you stop trying to live your life by looking in the rearview mirror? Give it up. Your past is your past. You can't undo your past. And frankly, your past has very little to do with your future compared to what God can do to your future. You need to remember that this morning. How about this one? But I tell you, love your enemies. All right, I don't like that one either, so we'll just push it away. You know that guy that's driving you crazy at work? You know that neighbor? Can you just walk out and say, God, I just need to remember that I need to love him or her? How about this one? Push the button. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. Amen. And I'm real tempted to go into a sermon on every one of these things, but just remember. Ariana was copying her mother's notes, and she was showing me her book where she copies mommy's notes. And I started to look at the copy, and she said, can you read it to me? Because I can make the letters, but I really can't read yet. And so I started to read the list that she had there, number one and number two and number three. And all of a sudden, they become very familiar with me that had been the steps to a message that I had preached. And then Brindley says, Pap, I remember when you preached that. Just remember. Can you remember that God is rich in mercy? Would you stop thinking you have to earn it? You're never going to earn it because God is rich in mercy and grace. How about this one? I don't know how many more I got. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And you've heard it said, and I've heard it said, the trouble with a live sacrifice that keeps crawling off the altar. Can you just remember that God says, I want you so much that I've done everything that you need for to come to me. And I want you on my team so bad that I've said all is lacking is you saying yes. Come to me. And watch what I can do in your life. Will you remember? What do you need to remember this morning? What do you need to go back and look through again and again and again? And Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You know what the Lord did to me this week on that verse? I said, God, it seems pretty dark sometimes. He said, will you stop looking with your eyes and start looking with your soul? Because I have sent you into someone else's darkness and you can't adopt their darkness. because you're not in their darkness. But I've sent you in their darkness. Will you stop looking with your eyes? You're following me, and you need to know, and you need to remember, you never will walk in darkness, even when you're in the valley of the shadows. What do I need to remember this week? How about John 11? Jesus said to her, I'll tell you what, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know what that tells me? Hey, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead here in a few verses. I get that. But you know what that tells me? You think you've got a bad situation. Jesus says, you haven't had me at your tomb yet. And you need to remember that even though you're dead and you got nothing and you got no faith and you got nothing to offer me, I will stand at your tomb. And I will say, come alive! You think you've got a situation that you can't handle? You might be right, you can't handle it, but there is no situation that I can't handle. I am the resurrection and the life. What do we need to remember this morning? And we need to remember to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Because we've been seeking other things, and we've been seeking what this world would want. We've been seeking more of something this world has to offer rather than more of what God wants to give us. What do we need to remember this morning? Maybe you need to remember that you don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer, spend time with me. Maybe we need to remember that your tongue has the power of life and death. Will you start using your tongue for life and not death? You need to remember the power of the spoken word. And maybe you need to remember this. The Lord has established his throne, and his kingdom rules over all forever and ever and ever. I don't know who is all on the thrones of this world, but I know who's on the capital T throne of our universe. And when I look at this world, and when I look at this country, and when I look at this state, and when I look at the community around me, I need to remember that God is in control. What do you need to remember this morning? Do this in remembrance of me. I have a couple of guys to help me with communion here. We're going to have communion today. Do this in remembrance of me. Just go ahead and take one of the cups there and while you're taking the cup and while we're spending some more moments just remembering who he is, let him burn it into your soul. New Lifers, look at me. The cups will get to you. Look at me. Let him burn one of those things you need to remember into your heart today so that you go out of here saying, I remember that God loves me. I remember that God wants me. I remember that there's no battle that God can't win. I remember when I follow Jesus, I got to stop looking with my eyes and start looking with my soul. I need to remember that he's in control no matter what this world looks like. And I need to remember that he's invited me to be on his team. And I need to remember that he's breathing life into me so much so that I could almost burst. I need to remember that he has a table prepared before me. I need to remember that I have been anointed. I need to remember that he has set me free. I need to remember that he has more for me. I need to remember that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. I need to remember that there's no condemnation in me. I am not condemned. I am not found guilty because I'm in Christ.
Come on now.
I need to remember that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I need to remember that God loved me so much that he sent his only son for me. I need to remember that he cares for my every need. I need to remember that he sent his son and I'm coming alive. You take your goblet here and put it so the liquid is down and take the bread top off. The bread goes first because Jesus broke his body. His body was broken before his blood was shed. As a new pastor, I could always write on my hand, bread first, bread first, bread first, because I could never remember that. And I just, one of those fears that I had, I'm going to screw this up. Jesus says, if that's the least of your worries, really, of what you could screw up in life. Then I heard a guy say one time, I heard this from another guy. He said, the body was broken before the blood was shed. His body was opened up, and his blood was shed. So this morning, as we remember, as we take out the wafer here, just know this, that his body was broken for you. Let me pray. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken, not just because man decided, because you made a choice to go to the cross. The cross has a message that's compelling. And Jesus, you set this up with your disciples and say, listen, guys, you're going to learn a lot of new things, but you're going to please remember. Please remember. Father, I thank you so much for this simplistic action that points us toward what God has done in our lives thus far. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we eat this together. Let's eat together. Now, if you roll your cup over, open up the liquid. The liquid is simply grape juice. So if you're in recovery, don't worry. This is not wine or alcoholic in any way. Because the last thing I would want you to do is head back down a dark path. A simple grape juice. And Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, because life is in the blood. Amen. And I'm pouring my blood out on you. Just so you know, when the Father, God the Father, looks at you, you have a red tint, because he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus. Rosy red, that's what he sees. God is amazing. He said, guys, you're going to need to remember. Let me pray again. God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you for this simple grape juice. To remind us not that there's grapes in this world, and not to remind us that we can make grape juice, but to remind us of you, Father, saying, please just remember. I will teach you new things as well, but you need to remember. Father, I thank you so much for that. Thank you for just a moment's together on this 21st day of August, on one of the 52 Sundays that we have together, that we can just pause and just simply remember. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for spilling your blood over us. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Caleb, if I could have you come. And your whoever you've asked to help you. These guys are going to be in the entry. And they're going to have a sweetness, and they're going to have a cookie, but they're going to have some sweet moment from God for you. If you can't eat cookies, don't resist the scripture. simply take the scripture off, and I really don't care if you throw the cookie in the garbage. Don't resist the sweet words of God for you today. It's one you've already had this year. It's one God wants you to have again. So remember, stand with me today. Father, thank you for these moments together, and thank you for this time. And Lord, I know that we're going to exit this building, and some are going to grab a sandwich, and they're going to head to Rochester. And Father, I thank you for that group of people that are heading out. And Father, this big ball of light, the star shooting through the universe, it looks like a white van, but this is a huge lightning bolt going from here to Rochester. They're going to get there, and they're going to be the answer to somebody's prayer. Because somebody's been praying, I don't know what to do with this ceiling in my living room. I don't know what to do with this plumbing. And you have sending the answer that'll start tomorrow morning. Thank you for the answerers in this room. And Father, thank you that we can be listeners and we can be partakers and we can receive the words of God. And we can apply them, and those applied to our life will make our house firm because the rain is coming. The floods are lifting. God, I'm not sure if that was real thunder or not. But I think you just put an exclamation point at the end of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.